Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad An-Nabiyyil Mujahidil Shahid wa ala alihi wa ashabihi alladhina saru sayrahu wa jahadu fillahi haqqa jihadihi hatta atahumul yaqin amma ba'd. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an was in Sham, either he was in Jabiya or later on when he was in Jerusalem, at one of the points, the commanders of the different armies would come to him, visit him, and they would request him to visit them as well. In their place of residence, they would prepare some type of meal or something to eat for Umar radiallahu an. And honoring them, Umar radiallahu an would go over to them. However, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu an, who was the commander-in-chief, he never requested Umar radiallahu anhu to come over to his place of residence. So Umar radiallahu anhu says to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu that everyone else is inviting me, why aren't you inviting me? So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I don't want to make you cry. Umar radiallahu anhu insists, and he goes to the place of residence of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and he sees that there is only a saddle blanket which he would use to place on his conveyance when he was riding, and the same thing would be his bedding when he would rest. And he found that there was a utensil and an old water bag, and there was hardly anything else that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu possessed. So he asked him, أَعِنْدَكَ طَعَامٌ, do you have any food? Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu went to one corner and he brought some pieces of dried bread. And he says, this is the food that I have. When Umar radiallahu anhu saw this, he began to cry. And he embraced Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. He says, أَنْتَ أَخِي, you are truly my brother. You are truly my brother. غَيَّرَتْنَا الدُّنْيَا كُلَّنَا غَيْرَكْ يَا أَبَا عُبَيْدًا, the dunya has changed all of us besides you, Abu Ubaidah. How you were in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are still in that exact same manner. The different conquests and booty etc. that we have hasn't changed you in the least. Imagine, he was the commander in chief. There was a lot of booty that he would get whilst fighting, which was his right, and it belonged to him. But Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu would not keep all of this by him. Rather, he would spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his standard of living never changed. Something very great, that despite having accessibility to worldly possessions, still a person does not have those possessions. One is a person is poor. Allama Dhahabi rahimahullah explains this point, commenting on this. He says, this is true zuhud, that where the person can afford it, yet the person chooses not to have it. When a person cannot afford it, that he is forced. Because of his predicament, he is forced. So that is not true zuhud. True zuhud is when a person can have it, he can possess it, yet he chooses not to. Although Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said that all of us have been changed by dunya, this was his humility. Because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also was not changed in the least. His zuhud also was of a very high level. Hence, whilst he was here in Jabiya, Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma suggested to Umar radiallahu anhu that, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, we have a lot of clothing. We have fine clothing. We have nice conveyances. And alhamdulillah, we have a good standard of life here. As compared to Hijaz, as compared to Madinah Munawwara, the standard of living is good here. Prices are cheap, and the Muslims are well off. Hence, if you wear some fine white clothing, and you ride on some good conveyances, then it will perhaps have a greater impact on the kuffar, on the disbelievers. When they see you in this kind of appearance, it will have a better impact. Now, this is sometimes we feel that in order to have a greater impact on the non-Muslims, in order to invite them to Islam, we must do certain things that may not be 100% according to deen. So this is a lesson that we learn from here.
although what was being suggested to Umar radiallahu anhu was not impermissible, it was absolutely permissible, but it was not his normal standard of living. It was not what his standard of, it was not in keeping with his standard of simplicity. So Umar radiallahu anhu replies to Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma, and he says, Ya Yazid, Wallahi la ada'u al-hay'ata allati faraqtu 'alayha sahibi. O Yazid, by Allah, I will not leave that style and that appearance upon which I was when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world. How I was when Rasulullah sallam left this world, that is how I will remain. Wala atazayyanu lin-nasi bima akhafu ay yushinani 'inda rabbi. And I will not beautify myself in order to please people, in order to impress people, in such a way that I fear it will cause a blemish to me in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا أُرِيدُ أَن يَعْظُمَ أَمْرِي إِنْدَ النَّاسِ وَيَزْغُرَ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And I do not want that I may have a high position in the sight of people, whereas I have a low position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole focus has to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do I fare in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What people have to say about me or they don't say about me, that is immaterial. It is how do I fare in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how will I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Umar radiallahu anhu came over to Sham and he reached Jabia, at that time Artabun, who was the Roman commander in Jerusalem, when he heard Umar radiallahu anhu came, so he escaped from Jerusalem and he went over to Egypt. However, some other seniors of Jerusalem and some other important and notable people, as they had requested that they want Umar radiallahu anhu to come over for Umar radiallahu anhu to give them amnesty and to give them asylum. So hearing and that Umar radiallahu anhu is in Jabia, they leave Jerusalem and they come over to Jabia, and here they meet Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu writes a document of amnesty, a peace treaty, giving them certain rights, safety for themselves, their wealth, their places of worship, on condition that they pay jizya. And if any one of them wishes to leave Jerusalem and go away to some other Roman territory or any other place, they had the full right to do so. They could go safely. And this document thereafter was signed by the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were there and that were present. While Umar radiallahu anhu was here in Jabia, either whilst he was there or it was the time for him to leave, Umar radiallahu anhu's kurta, his upper garment that he was wearing, was messed and the collar was torn. So Umar radiallahu anhu requested that this garment should be washed and it should be stitched. So in the meantime, whilst this was being done, there was a cotton kurta that was brought for him, a cotton upper garment that was brought for him. Umar radiallahu anhu was not accustomed to this fine cloth. They used to wear very coarse clothing or very coarse cloth. So he asked, what is this? So it was explained to him that this is cotton. He didn't even know what was cotton. And they explained to him it was cotton. Then, when Umar radiallahu anhu's garment was ready, he insisted that he will wear his old garment again. So he changed again and he wore his garment. Now it was time for him to depart. What a momentous occasion. That occasion that they were waiting for so long. The liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And the Ummah currently is also waiting for that. And we make dua that through the barakah of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum and their sacrifices, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also show us that day very soon. Umar radiallahu anhu now is departing from Jabia, moving and advancing towards Jerusalem, and he realizes that his conveyance that he was riding from Madinah Munawwara, it was hurt in its hoof. So he requested that another conveyance should be brought for him. There was a horse, a non-Arab horse that was brought to him. So they were used to riding Arab horses. Now this was a breed, which was some other breed. A non-Arab breed of horse was brought. Umar radiallahu anhu mounted this conveyance, mounted this horse. And as it began moving, Umar radiallahu anhu did not like the walk of this horse. He felt that the walk, the manner in which it walked, was a very proud walk. So Umar radiallahu anhu immediately dismounted from this horse. He struck the horse and he reprimanded the horse that who taught you to walk in this proud manner? Then he goes on to say, هَذَا مِنَ الْخُيَلَىٰ. This is boastfulness, this is pride. مَا كُنْتُ أَظُنُّ النَّاسَ يَرْكَبُونَ الشَّيْطَانَ قَبْلَ هَذَا. I never thought people will ride a shaitan before. Meaning, the manner in which this horse moves, it creates pride in the heart of the rider. Hence, I never thought that people will use this kind of a horse. Umar radiallahu anhu also said, لَقَدْ غَيَّرَتْنِي هَذَا حَتَّى خِفْتُ أَنْ أَتَكَبَّرَ وَأَنْ أُغَيِّرَ نَفْسِي. That the walk of this horse has changed the condition of my heart, and I fear that pride and takabbur will come in my heart. Imagine what a momentous occasion it was. Umar radiallahu anhu is the Amirul Mu'mineen. Everyone is looking up to him. But whilst all the spotlights were on him, his spotlight was on his heart. That the condition of my heart must not change. There must be no pride coming in my heart. All the time checking on himself. And this is something which is extremely important. That we need to continuously check on our hearts, check on ourselves. What is the condition of my heart? Is pride coming in my heart? Is arrogance coming in my heart? Or whatever else it may be, any other evil malady. To continuously check on ourselves and reprimand ourselves. Umar radiallahu anhu, even at this moment, he did not lose sight of the condition of his heart. And when he felt that this will be a means of creating pride in his heart, he immediately dismounted from this conveyance. Umar radiallahu anhu came to Jerusalem. It was the month of Rabiul Akhir, the 16th year after Hijrah, when Umar radiallahu anhu entered Masjid al-Aqsa. Obviously, it was a peaceful entry. The document was already signed in Jabia, so there was no formalities to be followed here. Umar radiallahu anhu very peacefully entered Masjid al-Aqsa using the same door that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered through on the night of Mi'raj. Firstly, Umar radiallahu anhu offered 2 rakats of Tahiyyatul Masjid. The next morning, Umar radiallahu anhu performed the Fajr Salah. And in this Fajr Salah, he recited from Surah Sa'd and from Surah Bani Israel. Obviously, the Surah Bani Israel, the first ayat, is the very famous ayat regarding Masjid al-Aqsa. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjid al-harami ilal masjid al-Aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu wassami'u al-basir. So Umar radiallahu anhu recited the Surah Bani Israel as well. Then he called for Ka'ab Ahbar. Ka'ab Ahbar was a very learned Jew who had accepted Islam, rahmatullah alayh. He was not a Sahabi. So he was a very learned Jew. Hence Umar radiallahu anhu called for him and he asked him that where do you suggest should I make the musalla, the place of salah? Where should I stipulate the place of salah? So the compound, the Masjid al-Aqsa compound is a huge compound. And there is the sakhra, which is from Jannah, which is in the center of the compound, approximately the center of the compound, which is the high point of this compound. And now there is that very elegant structure, the dome, which is built over that rock, known as the dome of the rock. This is the place of significance for the Jews. In the Aqsa compound, this is the place of significance for the Jews. This is where they claim that this is the temple of Solomon which they want to build, etc. So this is towards the center of the Aqsa compound. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked Ka'ab Ahbar that where should the musalla be? The place of salah, where should it be? So Ka'ab Ahbar, being previously a Jew, he says, suggests to Umar radiallahu anhu that if you asking me for my opinion, then I suggest that it should be behind this rock. So, for example, this is the Qibla wall. The Qibla wall is here. The center of the compound is somewhere here. And this is where the rock is. So he says that you should make the musalla here. So in that way, you will be facing towards the Kaaba, which is the Qibla of the Muslims. And you will also have the rock in front of you. He didn't explain, but what he meant was... And what was his intention? That by facing towards the rock, then you will also be showing significance to the rock. So the place of the Jews also, there will be significance that would be shown to that. Umar radiallahu anhu picked this up. And he says, Bahayt al-Yahudiyya. You still have some similarities to the religion of the Jews. You are suggesting that we should perform our salah here out of respect for this auspicious place of the Jews. Umar radiallahu anhu says, no, I will not make this the place of salah. Rather, I will stipulate the place of salah as the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah on the night of Mi'raj, and he led all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa salam in salah, and that is the front of the compound. Hence we find today that in the front of the compound is what is known as the Qibli Masjid. The Qibli Masjid is on the top, and at the bottom is the Masjid al-Qadim, which most probably was the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, approximate place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have performed the salah and led the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam in salah. And this is the place where the main salah takes place. Although there is a jamaat that also takes place in this Qubbatul Sakhra because of the size of the compound. So there is a jamaat that takes place there sometimes, maybe in certain seasons it doesn't happen. But this was not the place stipulated by Umar radiallahu anh. The place stipulated by Umar radiallahu anh was the front of the masjid where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed salah. Thereafter, Umar radiallahu anh goes to the rock. The rock is an auspicious rock because it is from Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-ajwatu wa sakhratu min al-jannah. The ajwa date and the rock which is in Baytul Muqaddas, both are from Jannah. So it is a rock of Jannah. So Umar radiallahu anhu goes there and he finds that there's a lot of dirt that's dumped on this rock. Now what the Christians did, out of spite for the Jews, and because of what the Jews did to them, so they don't have any significant place in the compound. In the Aqsa compound, there's no place of significance for the Christians. So the Christians, since this is a auspicious place for the Jews, in order to spite the Jews, they used it as a dump site. And they used to dump all types of filth. All types of filth would be dumped here on the rock. And for years and years they used it as a dump site. So it was filled with dump. Hence, Umar radiallahu anhu goes there. And he starts cleaning this place. Now when Hiraqal, the Roman emperor, when he was in Jerusalem, and he received the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we discussed, at that time, Hiraqal warned the Christians, and he mentioned to them, إِنَّكُمْ لَخَلِيقٌ أَن تُقْتَلُوا عَلَىٰ هَذِهِ الْكُنَاسَ مِمَّمْ تَهَنْتُمْ هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ. He says that it's possible that you will be killed at this dump site because of you desecrating this masjid. Because of you showing disrespect to this masjid, it is possible that you will be killed here. Hence, he instructed them to start cleaning. And immediately they started cleaning this place. They cleaned and they cleaned, but because of the years of dump that was there, they only managed to clean 1/3 of the filth that was thrown there until Umar radiallahu anhu came and conquered Masjid al-Aqsa. And then Umar radiallahu anhu himself personally began to clean. And he appointed the people of Jordan, the people of Urdun, he appointed them to clean this place. Coincidentally, in the recent years, the Jordanian government is in charge of the upkeep of Masjid al-Aqsa. Umar radiallahu anhu at that time had instructed the people of Jordan to clean this place. And now the Jordanian government are in charge of the upkeep of Masjid al-Aqsa and maintaining Masjid al-Aqsa. This, as we explained, had taken place in the month of Rabiul Akhir, the 16th year after Hijrah. Now the entire Sham was under the control of the Muslims. It was only one city, the city of Caesarea, which was not under the control of the Muslims, as you explained. It was a coastal city. So they were receiving reinforcements and they were receiving aid. And whatever they required, supplies were all they were receiving through the coast, through the ocean, from the Roman territories, from Turkey, etc. They would receive all their supplies from there. So they managed to continue for a very long time. This happened in 16th year after Hijrah. In the 18th year after Hijrah, whilst many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Muslim army were still there in Sham, administering the affairs of the people, taking care of Sham, there was a plague that broke out. This plague started in Amawas, which is a place in Palestine. The name of the place is Amawas, so the plague is known as Ta'un Amawas, the plague of Amawas. And this plague spread very, very fast and spread very wide in the land of Sham. And it affected thousands of people. Thousands of people were affected. In fact, the figures are more than 20,000 people passed away. More than 20,000 people passed away in this plague. Bulk of the army, of the Muslim army also passed away in this plague, including the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, the son of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, all of them passed away in this plague. Hence, they are buried in this area, especially in the area which is known as Aghwar. Aghwar is the valley between modern, current day Jordan and Palestine. This is the area where we find the qubur of these great Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu an, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu an, his son Abdul Rahman, then the qabr of Shurahbi bin Hasana radiallahu an, Dirar bin Azwar radiallahu an, these great Sahaba radiallahu anhum are buried here in Jordan. And this is a living message of the sacrifice of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That, where were these Sahaba from? From Makkah Mukarrama, made hijrah to Medina Munawwara. Some of them were from Medina Munawwara. And thereafter, they made hijrah for the sake of deen. They sacrificed coming all the way to Sham. So much of sacrifice they had given for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they never went back home. They never went back home. They continued with the effort of deen. And they continued to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this land until they passed away in this land, and they are buried in this land as well. So this happened in the 18th year after Hijrah, in the 19th year after Hijrah, at the hands of Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu anh. Caesarea thereafter was conquered. Muawiyah radiallahu anh conquered Caesarea after his brother Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma also passed away in this plague. And thereafter Umar radiallahu anh appointed Muawiyah radiallahu anh in the place of his brother. Muawiyah radiallahu anh thereafter administered the affairs of Damascus in the time of Umar radiallahu anh, which continued in the time of Uthman radiallahu anh. And thereafter for 20 years, Muawiyah radiallahu anh ruled the Muslim Ummah from Damascus. Hence Damascus is a very, very historic place. And this land of Sham becomes a very historic place. One is the virtues, one is the Qurbani of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But thereafter, it was the place from where the Muslim world was ruled for many, many years. This brings us to the end of this great series of the conquest and futuh of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us by the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the jazba and the zeal to sacrifice for the sake of deen, like these Sahaba radiallahu anhum had sacrificed in uplifting deen in whichever way possible in today's time. Obviously, Sahaba radiallahu anhum did it in the way that they needed to do it. In our times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us different avenues of making khidmat of deen, of sacrificing for the sake of deen, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to take inspiration from the lives of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the great qurbani that they made, the sacrifice they made for the sake of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them on our behalf and on behalf of the ummah, the best of reward for all the sacrifice they made for deen to reach us and for deen to reach the four corners of the world. May Allah allow us to truly appreciate and love the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for all the sacrifice they made for the sake of deen. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted victory to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and just as the battle of Yarmouk was the decisive battle that broke the backbone of the Romans and paved the way for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa, and similarly in the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah, the battle of Hittin was that decisive battle which paved the way for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today that Damascus has been conquered. And in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, it was the same. First Damascus was conquered, thereafter Masjid al-Aqsa was conquered. Now that Allah has made it such that Damascus has been liberated, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah allows Tufanul Aqsa, the current war in Gaza, to be that Yarmouk and to be that Hittin, to be that decisive battle which will break the backbone of the current occupation. And very soon in our lifetime, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see the day of the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.